Ezekiel, the Old Testament, Ezekiel chapter 18 today. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 26. The Bible says, when a righteous man turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity and dieth in them, for his iniquity that he hath done shall he die. Again, when the wicked man turneth away from his wickedness that he hath committed and doeth that which is lawful and right, he shall save his soul alive. Because he considereth and turneth away from all his transgressions that he hath committed, he shall surely live, he shall not die. Yet saith the house of Israel, the way of the Lord is not equal. O house of Israel, are not my ways equal? Are not your ways unequal? Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, saith the Lord God. Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. Cast away from all your transgressions, whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live ye. The prophet Ezekiel, he was a priest, he was a prophet, and he was a preacher who warned the nation of Israel about the direction that they had followed. They were straying away, backsliding, turning away from the voice of the Lord. Everything that they knew to do, they were turning their backs upon that which was good and righteous. But the message of Ezekiel is turn, turn. And some 23 or 4 times in the book of Ezekiel, you'll see that word turn. And really, in our language, in our common language, he's just calling them to repentance. He's calling them to turn away from the direction that they are following. I don't know about you, but I'm so thankful that I heard the gospel and I heard a challenge from a preacher of the gospel when I was just young, challenging me to turn away from the direction that I was following and to turn to the Lord. To turn and live, to turn and to have life through our Lord Jesus Christ. So Ezekiel is a preacher of righteousness who's preaching to awaken the hearts of men and women to their need, their sinful ways, and to call them back to God. You see, Ezekiel, you can go back to chapter 2 of the book of Ezekiel, and you'll see where he was a young person called to preach the gospel. It says in chapter 2, in verse 1, that God spoke to him, "Son of man, stand upon your feet. I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel as a rebellious nation." God sends preachers. Amen. Thank God that that God sends preachers into our life. And I can reflect upon my experiences over the many years and many very pivotal times in my life. And it was a preacher of the gospel that God used to keep me on track, or to send out a warning, or to encourage me. It was the word of the Lord and a preacher of the gospel. And that's what Ezekiel was to a rebellious nation that had turned their backs upon the Lord. And so God sends preachers to declare the truth of the word of God, to warn of judgment. And not only that, but to speak life, to give life, to turn from that direction you're following and to turn around and to turn toward the Lord. All throughout the scripture, you see the warnings of of following after a sinful lifestyle, and how that God sends out warnings. He says in Genesis that sin is a grievous thing. He says that it's a reproach unto God. It's a transgression of God's law. It's missing the mark of God's standard that's been established and set by the word of the Lord. And that's the position every one of us are in, if not but for the grace of God. Amen? That's where we would be if it was not for the grace of God. We have missed it. We are missing the mark. Thank God that we have been warned, and the gospel has been preached to make us aware of what we need. Now, folks, our country, we are concerned about our country. It is ripe for judgment right now, just like it was in the days of Noah when the flood came and took them all away. This is the kind of generation that we're living in right now. These are certainly the last days, and God is speaking. God is declaring the word of the Lord. God is raising up those that will preach and declare the word of the Lord in these last days. And our country is in a divided mess. I've never seen anything like it. It's and you really don't know who to believe or what to believe. And you may find yourself on one political side or the other political side, but quite frankly, a lot of the times, I don't know who to believe or what to believe or who's standing for right or who isn't. It's a confusing age that we're living in right now, and the mess it's in. And you see it filtered down even into our own community, our own city, all the division and all of this that's going on around us right now. It is all the result of sin. It is all the product of self-will. From whence cometh wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your own lust that war in your members? That's where all the confusion is coming from. That's where all the division and the hate is coming from. And that's the world that we live in. What's the answer? Ezekiel was preaching to a rebellious nation that was being taken into captivity. And he was warning them, but they would not heed his warning. And they found themselves being taken into captivity. The judgment of God was falling upon a rebellious nation. But yet Ezekiel preached to them and warned them of the direction that they were falling. Notice a couple of things that were going on that he was dealing with when you read through the book of Ezekiel. One of the biggest problems was idolatry. They were turning away from the one true and the living God, and they were worshiping other gods. And you and I have the same problem in our world right now, and maybe even in your life, that there are things that have risen up in your life that have taken the place of God. It doesn't really matter what it might be. You may not bow down before an image in idolatry, but what we're dealing with today is hearts being caught away, taken away, our affections stolen away by whatever that it might be, all kinds of things in our world and in our life that are stealing us away from our affection toward the Lord. And idolatry is just as real today as it was in Ezekiel's day. And he warned them, don't separate yourself from God. Ezekiel 14:7, every one of the house of Israel or stranger that sojourneth in Israel who separates himself from me and setteth up idols. When you pull away from God, separate yourself from God, then you just set up idols in your life, whatever that it might be. And we have to be warned. Don't allow anything to steal us away from our affection toward the Lord. Amen. He also warns not only of our sin, but he uses the word transgressions. Transgressions. Certainly that's going against the law of God, but another meaning of that word is just becoming indifferent toward that which is right. indifferent toward the things of God, indifferent toward the word of the Lord. We've heard it so much, we're so familiar with it, that we become indifferent to the reality of how important it is to obey the voice of the Lord and to stay in line with God's word. That's the command of God. So he warned about idolatry. He warned about transgressing the law of God. And Ezekiel realized that there is, why, you know, he was preaching it, and that's really the whole book. He was declaring the truth of God's word, warning them of their sin, and he realized that he wasn't really having much impact on them, that it wasn't really changing their hearts, and they were still following after their idols, still following after their evil ways. And he realized that they didn't have any power to do what was right. There was no power to do what was right. They needed to turn from their sin, and then they needed a transformation. They needed something, just like he had whenever he was converted. There in Ezekiel chapter 2, the Spirit of God came into his heart and gave to him the power and the desire to please the Lord. And so that's why he says this in several places. Ezekiel 11, Ezekiel 18, Ezekiel 36. He says, I'll give them one heart and put a new spirit within you. And I'll take the stony heart out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh. Ezekiel 18 and 31 from our text today. Cast away from all your transgressions whereby you have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will you die, O house of Israel? And then in Ezekiel 36 and 26, he keeps repeating this important message. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. So what he was saying is, you need to turn from your sin, but you need a special endowment of power. You need a new spirit. You need a new heart. You need a new motivation. You need a new power within your life, because quite frankly, on our own, we're going to fail, folks. We're not going to be able to please the Lord. But we will please the Lord whenever we are touched by the Spirit of the living God. And you can experience this wonderful touch. And it's one thing to say, no, I don't want to live the way I'm living. I want to turn toward the Lord. But it's so important to receive the power of the Spirit of God into your life so that you have the power to do the will of God. I'm encouraged by all the reports that I'm hearing about great worship services and prayer gatherings by the thousands on college campuses. I'm grateful to know that that's happening, and I trust that they will follow through, and that they will turn from their ways. It's one thing to acknowledge God. It's one thing to go to a prayer meeting, but it's so important to make a turn, to turn in the opposite direction that they're following, to confess and repent and turn from their sins and follow after God. You don't just add God on to your life. He becomes your life. He becomes your everything, your all, your existence. And Ezekiel realized that they were not able to do it. They had no power to turn from their sin. They had to have this endowment of power in their life. You ever wonder, why is it so difficult for me to do what I need to do and what I should do? The Apostle Paul, he had the same issue, the same problem. He said, I find a law, Romans 7 and 21, I find a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. He's just saying, I want to do good, but I don't have the power to do it. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And he's alluding to the practice of the Romans that they would tie a dead body to the back of someone by, that was their way of punishing them. And they would tie that rotting corpse to their back. And eventually that corruption would begin to affect them. And they would be corrupted by it. And so Paul is talking about this Roman practice and saying, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? What he was just saying is that I can't help myself. And if you heard people say, I can't live right. I can't do the right thing. I don't have the power to say no or to do the right thing. There is a provision. There is a work of the Spirit of God whereby God puts a new heart in you. When he transforms your heart, he empowers you by his Holy Spirit and gives to you the ability to have a new life. You can turn and have a brand new life. Amen. Not only a new life in this world, but eternal life. Praise God. When you make that turn away from the way that you are following. Amen. Your heart, he gives you a new heart, just meaning a new desire to please God rather than yourself. And a new spirit, which is just the power and the strength to please God. You can't please the Lord in your own strength, but you can. He can give you the power to turn from your sin and the power to live a life that's pleasing unto the Lord. Amen. We're all at war with the flesh. No man warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Amen. So I want you to be encouraged today, especially some of you that you've been struggling with things, saying, I can't live for God. I can't please God. No, you can't, and neither can I. None of us can. But we can be empowered of the Spirit of God. We can have a new heart, a transformation take place in our life, and we can turn and have life through the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. It's one thing to point out the sin, and certainly that's something that has to be done. But Ezekiel didn't stop with that. He didn't stop with saying, you're all idolaters, you're all wicked, you're all evil. He didn't stop with that. And thank God that it's not just a pointing out of our sin. Certainly, that's the responsibility of the preacher of the gospel, to acknowledge sin and to preach against sin in the lives of people. But we don't stop there. Amen. It would be like the doctor doing his investigation and looking at your physical body and your physical needs, and then saying, well, this is what you've got. You've got this. You've got this problem. You've got this disease. But then not offering a cure, not offering a solution. Ezekiel didn't stop with saying, you're wicked, you're evil, you're idolaters. But he said, you can't do it on your own, but I will put a new heart in you. God will put a new heart in you and a new spirit, new desire, and new power to please the Lord. Praise God. So not only does he give us an abundant life, he gives us eternal life. When you make the turn, when you turn away from sin, everything is different. Everything is changed. Jesus said, the thief cometh not but for to steal and kill and destroy, but I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Praise God. Folks, we are living in a hopeless world. A hopeless world. More than 8 billion people in this world, and so many of them are hopeless. Right here in our own country, it's a hopeless situation. 2023, more than 1.5 million suicide attempts. Incredible. 1.5 million suicide attempts. 50,000 of them were successful in 2023. It's the second leading cause of death in America. Desperation, hopelessness. That's why we have to preach the truth. That's why we have to preach sin. You need to turn from your sin and turn to Jesus. Call upon the Lord and allow Him to transform your life. Turn and find life in the Lord Jesus Christ. A wonderful verse in Ezekiel is Ezekiel 36 and 9. This is the word of the Lord. For behold, I am for you. Isn't that a wonderful thing? God says, I am for you, and I will turn unto you, and you shall be filled, or you shall be tilled and sown. That there's a potential for your life if you'll just turn away. God is saying, if you'll turn from your sin, I'm for you. I'm going to strengthen you. I'm going to empower you. I'm going to help you to be what you need to be. Glory be to God. Amen. Brother Darrell, put that picture up. Amen. This is Joshua Smith. I met Joshua probably 15 years ago or so. 20 years ago, he was in the Laurel County Jail. Harry and Evelyn Ormsby were chaplains at that time. And they began to witness to Josh. He was in jail for drugs and for trafficking drugs. And Josh got saved. Praise God. He got born again. He was from Tennessee. He was sentenced to 20 years in prison. But by some miracle of the grace of God, he only spent a couple of years in prison. He got out of prison. And he was serving the Lord. And he started a business. His business was so successful that he decided to use some of the proceeds of his business to start an organization called Fourth Purpose Foundation, which was a ministry to reach out to prisons all over the region, to people that were in prison. Just this last year, it's never happened before, Josh was appointed the deputy director of the Federal Bureau of Prisons, overseeing 122 facilities, 6 regional offices, 2 staffing training centers, 22 residential reentry offices. He leads a workforce of 36,000. And is responsible for the care and the custody of 156,000 federal inmates. I'm just telling you, I just wanted to... Harry told me the other day that Josh was in the area visiting one of the prisons in Kentucky. And he called Harry. He said he just wept. That God could turn a life around so amazingly. Praise God. Hallelujah. When you make the turn, God's for you. And you can't even imagine the kind of life that He can give you if you'll follow the Lord. You can't imagine how God can change your life when you surrender yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. It's an amazing thing what can happen in the life of a person who is willing to turn from their sin and to let Jesus come in and transform their life and give them a new heart, replace that old stony heart with a heart of flesh and put His Spirit within them. Oh, what an amazing thing it is that God can do with a life if you'll just surrender to Him and allow the Lord to change your life. Glory be to God. Could we just give Him praise this morning? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Lord, we thank You, Lord, that You can transform lives. You can change hearts. And You can work supernaturally, Lord, to bring about hope to a world that is so hopeless and so desperate. And we thank You, Lord, for that. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Would you stand with me all over this building? So today I'm speaking to some of you that you realize I can't do it on my own. I want to serve God, but I don't seem to have the ability to do it. I don't have the strength. I don't have the power to please God. That's all of us. That's every one of us that are Christians today. We can't live it. We can't please God except by the grace of God, by the wonderful provision of His Spirit and His power in our life. Then you can never tell what God might do with your life. Amen. I just want you to be encouraged. Don't give up. Don't lose heart. But call upon the Lord today. Praise God. Let Him change your life. Let Him do a work in you. Supernaturally change your life. Glory be to God. So we just want to pray together right now. I don't know anyone in this place that is not a Christian. I don't know. This is just between you and the Lord. But I do know that God wants to help and minister to everybody in this service today. But if that's been your heart, I want to please God. I want to serve God. But I don't seem to have the strength or the ability or the power to please the Lord. There's a provision. He's for you. He'll help you if you'll call upon the name of the Lord today. So let's pray together. Father, we thank You for Your grace and mercy. And I know, God, that You're able to change lives. You're able, Lord, to come into our life, Lord, and empower us to become saints of God, men and women of God. Lord, and let us pray, God, for those in this service today, Lord, that are not saved. I just pray, Lord, God, that You would do a supernatural work of conversion to transform the lives of men and women in this service today. God, would You do a mighty work, we pray. And we thank You for it. Praise Your name, Jesus. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Thank You, Lord, for what You're doing. Praise the Lord. I want to welcome everybody to come in around the altars here before.